heal my soul.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. How's everybody doing? Good. God is good. God is good. Yes, he is. And it's good to be here. Good to see you. We thank everyone for coming this morning. Those of you that's watching by way of television this morning, thank you for tuning in by live stream. Hello, how you doing? We wish you were here. Amen. Don't we, church? Amen. Yeah, we wish everybody. I believe everybody that was watching by way of television and watching by way of live stream, this place would be full. Yeah, yeah. Some of you are tech savvy and you know how this works. Some of us are not so much. But we get calls all the time, emails, texts, saying that I'm watching service, or I'm out of town. And so technology is good when it's working good. Amen. It can be used for so many great things for the Lord, but it also can be used for bad. Amen. But we thank God for those that labor, that's using our cameras and recording worship for now and for later, because that is a wonderful ministry, and we thank God for you. If you're visiting with us, we'll recognize all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You had enough rain for the week? Yeah. We actually needed the rain. You know, I know my grass, it needed the rain, but it could have cut off a little bit. You know, maybe we didn't need quite that much, but it might be one day soon we wishing we had some rain. So we take the good. Rain is good, and so it's good. It comes from God, and so everything God gives is good. I believe that with all my heart. Just good to be here. Good to see you. I want to entitle the lesson today. It's getting harder and harder. Every time I do a lesson, I want to make it a series because you can't finish it. But I want to entitle this lesson "The Sermon on the Mount." I also have a subtitle, Kingdom Living. Kingdom Living. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapters 5 through chapter 7, Jesus delivers just a powerful, powerful. It's the longest sermon we have recorded in the New Testament, in the Bible. And listen to this, Matthew. Listen to the last two verses of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is the last two verses. When Jesus had finished these words, he's at the end of the lesson, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as a scribe. His message was so powerful. The King James translation would say the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because they never heard teaching like this before. It was revolutionary. Jesus came on the scene, and in Matthew 4, I believe in verse 7, the Bible says that he preached, his message was, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, or the kingdom is near. And he started teaching this teaching before the kingdom was established, of how he wants his followers to live. And it was amazing. It was just what they say. The Bible said it was amazing, his teaching. And I want to take some excerpts from this sermon. And I hope you will receive this from the Lord. I say I hope you receive it because everybody won't receive it. It helps me. It humbles me. The scripture that was read in your hearing, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, listen to it. It has new meaning And that's a new meaning. I don't know, maybe just because I'm reading it more, but he says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Everybody say destruction. I know we don't like to say that word, but the Bible said it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate that leads to eternal life. For small is the gate and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are a few who seem to find it. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? And so when we read some of these teachings that Jesus gives, everybody don't receive them. You know, everybody don't receive them. And remember, he's actually teaching this before the kingdom is established. Before the church is established, he's teaching this teaching. He says, now I'm going to tell you, this is what we are looking for in the followers of God. And so, you know, there may be someone here this morning and you're in search of the truth and you're in search of the way and you're in search of being pleasing to God. Well, the Bible even tells us to count the cost. Yeah, yeah. And so can you handle this morning? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if you can handle this. You heard some of this before. But I don't know, you know, they say in sales that one of the tactics that a good salesman will use to make a sale is fear of loss. You know, they'll explain the benefits, but you don't ever want to feel like you're missing something you need to have. And as I search this scripture, it says there's only a few who gonna find it. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I plan on being a part of that few. How about you? Yeah, and some people look at it the opposite way. If a few, I'm not gonna make it. I don't look at it that way. I look at it if it's gonna be a few, amen, I'm claiming my spot. Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it. And so when we look at this teaching, don't look at it as, I can't do this. Look at it, what do I need to do? Amen. You all right this morning? This is a little heavy this morning. It's a little heavy. That's why I might have to make it a series, because I don't want to rush it. I'm not reading it in chronological order. Let's start in Matthew chapter 5. Remember 5 through 7. Jesus, it's called the Sermon on the Mount because I don't have time to read it all because Jesus actually went up on the mountain to give this sermon. And he had been performing miracles and the people followed him. The Bible says multitudes followed him, and they followed him because of what he did. He was performing miracles. They knew there was something about him and they followed him. And you know what? I'm coming to understand as to have more influence on individuals, so people will listen to you. We need to be doing something, amen. I mean, who wants to hear something from somebody who's not doing nothing? How you gonna tell me how to make $10 million and you don't have $2? Amen, somebody. How you going to tell me how to save a soul and you haven't? Amen. And Jesus, they follow multitude. And you go on the internet, you go on social media, and you know, now I'm kind of on Facebook a little bit more, and you on Facebook, everybody got this video, these sayings, and they saying, oh, they sound so good. I just want to say, what have you done? And I just, you know, but Jesus, he demanded a multitude. His presence commanded, his actions commanded. And he says in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. That's what he says to his spouse. He said, you are, now they're not in the kingdom yet. He said, but you are the light of the world. He says, a city set on a hill, cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bush, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. He says, now, the followers, you got to be the light. Then he goes on to say a verse that you know, all you men of you know, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify God who's in heaven. And he says, now in the kingdom, when you get in the kingdom, he says, you the lights. And what he was saying is, you're the example for the world. That's what he's saying. Yeah, man, listen, I hope we know who we are. Hope we know who we are. Okay, be quiet, Siri. She's asking me something. Okay. We're the light of the world. Yeah. And then he starts teaching us what we need to be doing. How we are to shine. Woo-wee. Go jump to chapter six, verse one. I know this is going. I'm going to have to split this up. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." That's different. That's different, isn't it? Because, and we might not say it, but. But see, in this, it seems like the way even some people, some organizations, the way they even try to motivate us is they try to highlight us, you know, we're gonna build a building and we're raising funds and you can get your name on a plaque and we'll put it outside in the lobby. If you donate $5,000, you get a name on the plaque. Yeah, yeah. A whole lot of folks say, I want my name on the plaque. And some people, some individuals will give their money just to have. So somebody could pass by and say, ooh, ooh. Yeah, Brother Charles Shelby. Gave $5,000. So people can pass by and say, Charles, you up, Charles? Boy, you banking, Charles. Boy, you, that's all right, Charles. You, but Charles, you got, man, you a true Christian. See, that's different, isn't it? That's different. You know, I mean, we do it all the time, you know, trying to, you know, you donate some money to a college and they put your name on the college. And I'm not saying, please don't stop donating. Please don't stop doing good. But to the saints, to those, he tells us, beware of practicing your, in Matthew alone, it uses the word hypocrite 14 times. 14 times, and I know what Jesus is trying to teach us. He said, look, I don't want the children of God to be hypocrites. And he says it over and over again, but he says, don't beware if that's your motive to be noticed by men. You know what happened to me and Sister KB this morning? I say, you know what? This is nothing but the Lord. I'd already prepared my sermon, and we stopped at McDonald's. We know if we leave early enough, we'll stop at McDonald's, get some oatmeal with no cream in it. Because I can't handle the cream. But we ordered our oatmeal. We was in the drive-thru, and a truck was in front of us, and he was getting whatever he was getting, and I'm right behind him. And I could hear the man talking to the person in the drive-thru. And in my mind, I almost said something to KB. I almost said something. You know, he need to quit talking because we need to go. But I didn't say it. I didn't say it. I thought it, though. Forgive me, Lord. I did think it. We got to the drive-thru, and the guy and the lady both enter the window and say, the man in front of you said he was blessed and he paid for y'all breakfast. I put my, oh, Lord, have me. Please forgive me, Lord. I didn't know who he was. Don't know his name. And after she said it, I tried to look to see if I could see. He was gone. I said, did he read my sermon? He says, listen what else it says. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. If that's your motivation to be pat on the back by men, to be noticed by men, to be glorified by men, God is not going to reward you for that. I say, my goodness. Did you not know, saints, Christians, followers of Christ, God rewards genuine righteousness in so many ways. Sometimes we don't even recognize how God rewards us. He says this. He says, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites. The word hypocrite, it means one who feigns to be what he is not. One who has the form of godliness without the power, or who assumes an appearance of piety and virtue when he is destitute of true religion. And one thing I believe that none of us like is a hypocrite. Amen. See, it's not, notice this. It's not. See, now, because I've had a couple. I have in the past, in some years of past, I've had a couple brothers, a couple of guys tell me, say, "Bro, you," he said, "you show mighty transparent, brother. You be telling some stuff sometime, bro, Gary." I be saying, "Man, don't tell that, brother Gary." And I understand what they say, and I told him, I said, "You know, I don't want nobody to think I'm somebody that I'm not. Lord have mercy." And so, but it's not an excuse for you to do wrong. Amen. But at the same time, it seems like, I know God despises. Let me read something else. Let me read something else. God despises. Listen to Matthew chapter 23. This is not in the Sermon on the Mount, but this is Jesus talking in Matthew 23, verse 13. He says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." And you know, if you read your Bible, you know the scribes and the Pharisees, they had it in for Jesus. He says this. He says, "Hypocrites." That's what he called. "Because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." He says, "You are the biggest hypocrites." Acting like you holy and pious and like you know everything, like you know the word of God, and you don't want folks to get in the kingdom of heaven. You not coming, and you don't want nobody else to come. And he called them hypocrites. How, you know, one thing that we as children of God do not need to be accused of is being a hypocrite. That's why, brothers, and you know, I start with the brothers, because especially if you're married, because God, that's where God starts. Because you're the head of your house. Amen. Say amen, brothers. Amen. You can say amen. That's why, brothers, you need to be careful how you lead. Don't be a hypocrite. In your house. Yeah, don't be a hypocrite coming up in here. Amen. Can I say it in kindly, in love, and y'all don't shoot me? Hey, I mean, hey. Hey, don't be a hypocrite. If you're struggling with something, be humble, ask the Lord for help with it, but don't be a hypocrite. Yeah, these brothers is working around the table, don't be a hypocrite. Amen. Amen. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's on a pedestal. Yeah, but it, you know, Brother Tim used to say a long time ago when he was here, he was else. He said, if you're going to be the devil, go on out there and be one. But don't bring it in here. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to get drunk Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, don't work around the table on Sunday. Don't usher. Amen. Well, I don't know. That's kind of tough. Don't be a hypocrite. Yeah. I tell you, you keep being a hypocrite, the sisters going to tell it on you. They will. They'll call up here. Yes, they will. As big as Houston is, somebody going to see you. That's the truth, isn't it? I told you, this kind of heavy. This kind of heavy. I believe it need to be said. I know. That's why when Jesus was teaching this teaching, they were amazed. No, he didn't say that. And he meant it. Young brothers, keep working on yourself. Yeah, keep working on yourself. Yeah, that's what used to bother me when I was younger. You know, see, when you get older, see, that's why we need to help these young men. See, when you get older, some things you can't do no way. Some things you just, you know, see, look, I know some old guys still dance and do, you know, but my dancing days been gone. My knees too bad. But I don't want you to think I haven't ever danced before. Some of the elders might not even want me to say that. We got to help these young men. Yeah, they got temptations on them. Every time you look around, temptations. I'm telling you, my goodness. See, I thank the Lord we didn't have the internet. we didn't have the internet when we were in college. I don't know internet. No smartphone. They had pay phones. You had to travel to use the phone. These young men, boy, they got everything. Boy, man. But you got to work on yourself. Yeah, you have to work on your holiness. Yeah. Yeah, you have to fight this good fight. You can't. Don't chase every girl. Amen. Amen. Yeah, be looking for wife material. Amen. Don't lay down with. Man, don't lay down. You gonna get a baby you can't pay for. You gonna get a disease you can't get rid of. Amen. I mean, I'm just, you know, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. And if you're struggling with something, come to the brothers' class. Brother Hamilton, raise your hand. Brother William, come to Brother Jamal's class and talk with some other brothers that's going through the same thing you're going through, but they're trying to live for God. But don't fake. Don't fake like you got. You come around here like, yeah, how y'all doing? You know. Yeah. Yeah. He says this, man. I know you want me to say something to the sisters, but I don't have time right now. I'm gonna work on that later. I'll work on that later, okay? Matthew 6:5. Listen to this. He says, when you pray, now, this is so practical. See, it's not hard to interpret. He says to the followers of God, he says, when you pray, he says, you're not to be like the hypocrites. the play actors. Yeah, it's, you know, see, you put a mask on. He said, don't be like the hippie. Don't pretend to be something you're not. That's what being a hypocrite is. He says this. He says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen. He says, they have their reward. You know, and sometimes when you pray, especially if you pray in public, somebody gonna tell you, man, boy, that was a good prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. That was a prayer. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for that. But if it's your motive when you pray and say, I'm gonna impress them today, and you start using words you don't even know the definition for. If that's your motive, because most people don't know. See, there's no need in using great grandiose words, and most people in the audience don't know what they mean. Why, who are you talking to? God. And so don't pray for, and see, this is the same text. You read the rest of what Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. Yeah, and all of it is, all prayer is going to God. Yeah, it's going to God. And he said, don't be a hypocrite when you pray. Yeah. Yeah. Some of my prayers are real short. I just, when I say some of them short, I just, you know, sometimes I just say, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Before I get up here every Sunday, I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Why you got to say, forgive me of my sins all the time? Listen, if you don't need the Lord forgive you no sin, don't say it. I just want to make sure. I want to make sure nothing is not blocking my blessing. And I told you, I already told the church, my biggest struggle is right up in here. See, you can sin sitting in your seat right now. You can curse me out in your mind. That's why we have to stay humble. Yes, stay humble servants of God. God knows everything that's going on. Yeah, he knows everything that's going on. See, do you not know there is a reward from God for practicing our righteousness simply because it's right to do right? And so when he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, God just wants you to do right because it's right. And nobody has to be. And many of you already do it. I love, every time when we have retreats or things that's going on in the summer, it never fails. Somebody always, one of the members, not just one, some of the members, they'll come and say, listen, give this. Send one of the kids to camp. They'll give it to one of the elders and say, just send one of the kids to camp. Don't want nobody else to, don't tell them who did it. Don't tell them who did it. Send one of the kids to camp. The Bible says that God rewards that kind of righteousness. And nobody else knows about it but God. Maybe one or two people knows about it. It happens when we have the marriage retreat. It happens all the time with saints. Yeah. He said this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 16. Verse 16. He says, whenever you fast, and now in New Testament time, we don't do that much fasting. Maybe we need to teach on it more. We've had some designated fast from time to time, but it doesn't have to be designated by the church for you to fast. Fast is when you withhold something. Most time it's food. You say, I'm not going to eat, and I'm going to dedicate 12 hours to prayer, to reach studying the word and ministry. And I'm consciously going to deprive myself of something that my body wants so I can honor God. And so he says this. He says, when you fast, do not put on a gloomy face. Listen to. As the what? God don't like hypocrites. He says, don't go around, you know. Say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, brother? Oh, I'm fasting, man. I'm fasting, man. Oh, it's killing me, too. It's killing me, Lord. I ain't eaten in a day and a half. Lord, have mercy. Woo-wee. I'm trying to get right with the Lord. Now, you know what it sound like you're doing? It sound like you're trying to impress me. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that to God, too. See, and you know what? A fast is good. Some of you do it. I'm telling you, I'll say, but most of the time now when I fast now, it's because I got a lot to do. And it might not be healthy to do it all the time, but sometimes I have so much to do. My wife say, "Well, you ate something?" I say, "Babe, I eat in a minute." And sometimes I don't even tell her because I know what she gonna do and how she gonna act. And I don't want her to even know that I'm dedicating this time, baby. I'm studying. I'm taking care of business. I'm ministering. I don't want her saying nothing to me about it, because you know what? I want God to get the glory. And I don't need her. I don't need her feeling sorry for me, because I'm trying to do something for God. Amen. And God say when you fast, just fast. He says this now. He goes on to say, he say, for they neglect their appearance so they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, verily I say to you, they have their reward in full. You got your pat on the back, that's your reward. He goes on to say, but you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. Lord, thank you, Jesus. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward. I don't know how God's going to reward us, but he's going to reward. Yeah. Sometimes daddies do it. Sometimes mamas do it. Yeah. Ooh, boy. I could see those people when Jesus was preaching this sermon, and they looking at him saying, wow. Because I won't say the human side of a... Sometimes we had our wrong motives. We got the wrong one. Who we really want our reward from is God. Yeah. Okay. He says this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. That's all these passages. I've read this so many times. I'm like, oh, man, it has new meaning to me. I'm understanding now. You read this sermon. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. And notice this. They not even in the kingdom yet. Will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, that's who's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, it's not about talking a good game. It's not about talking a good game. He goes on to say, for many will say in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not preach good words in your name? Or in your name cast out demons, or in your name perform many miracles? And then I would declare to them, I never knew. In other words, listen, you can't judge by what a person's done. You need to look into their heart to really know the true person. Because some people are doing things for all the wrong motives and all the wrong reasons. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. And so then I had in my notes in order actually to read Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 now. Now listen to what he says to us. Enter through the narrow gate. And you think about it. Everybody want recognition, don't they? Yeah, I know. You know, I was thinking about that too. I said, you know, we want, see, God has said, don't recognize yourself. See, because sometimes you can't, you remember when Jesus healed a man, healed a blind man, and he told him, he says, go and tell no one. And what did that man do? That man went right out. And who did he tell? Anybody that can listen, he told everybody. And some things you do for people, some things we do even in secret, something we do not for the glory of man, you can't stop folk from giving your praises. Yeah. And he says, enter through the narrow gate. And this is teaching for us. As we try to direct our lives, as we try to live our lives, he tells us to be a light for the world. He says, listen, do things God's way. And that way is, it's narrow. It really is narrow. It really is narrow. It's narrow. It's narrow to be humble in life. It's narrow to be a low, humble, meek person. It's narrow because a lot of people want to exude power and they want to exude noise and they want to exude accolading, and God wants us to be humble. It's narrow. Yeah, it's narrow. It's narrow. It's narrow. It's narrow. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, is the way. And it's broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. Yeah. And so, I want to admonish us. All of these lessons that God gives us, that Jesus gives us in his sermon. And he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. Notice he says, everyone who hears these words and acts on them. Because I was thinking about this as I was preparing this sermon. I said, you know, it's easy to talk this, but it's harder to do it. Amen. See, I haven't even read the scriptures in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to them. That's what the Bible says. For me to actually love my enemies. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard. He tells us, if somebody curse you, curse them back. Is that what the Bible said? Yeah. Now, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand when I... If somebody curse you, what you going to do? That's the question you have to ask yourself. If somebody... when I say curse you, I'm talking about... See, because most of us, we'll say something. Most people won't, but some people will curse at you. They will curse while they talk. See, when you curse while you're talking to me, that's cursing me. But if somebody actually curses the follower of God, what would you do? Please don't. We don't want to hear what you would do. But that's where the rubber meets the road. Because, I'm like, why is Jesus, why is this teaching, why is he telling us to act this way? It's because the Lord wants to save the whole world. And there are so many people in darkness who don't even know another alternative. And they won't know it until the light shines. Amen. They won't know it until we exemplify it. Some of us, you know where we need to start? Some of us need to start right in our houses. That's some things that we need to shut off. That's some words that we need to take out of our vocabulary. Right in our house. And there are generations who have not done it, but we need to do it ourselves. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We need to change some things to be a light for the. And that's why I understand he says this. He says, enter in at the narrow gate. Because it is narrow. And you'll find out it's narrow. It's narrow when you do things God's way. I was in the, you know, my wife's birthday is tomorrow, and we went to, I took her to dinner yesterday, and I was in the, I'm not going to tell you where we took her, but we took her to dinner, and they were in the back. I was going to the restroom, and I walked to the restroom, and right before the restroom, there was a family sitting here. There was a man sitting here, his wife here, that was, and I think four children. And they were so busy in there. And you know what they were doing? All of them. They were praying. But all the kids was doing this. They were doing it like this. They were praying. And I just stopped for a minute. I didn't say nothing. But it spoke. And I know, you know, everybody in here, we pray before we eat, don't we? Amen. Amen. Yeah. But it spoke. It spoke to me because I knew what I was preaching today. And I said, that's a light. Amen. See, they wasn't no embarrassment. And I'm talking about they prayed. I'm like, man, they prayed longer than me. And it's time, you know, because most time I'm at the dinner table, I pray a prayer may last about, you know, 30 seconds or so. I'm like, they were praying. And this world needs some lights. Amen. You here today? You're not a child of God? You need to be. You come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I got maybe 2 minutes. I'm going to say this also to the church. This is to the Fifth Ward Church, Church of Christ members. And I hope you receive this the right way. Jesus spent most of his time teaching people how to live. You know that? He taught his apostles to teaching people how to live in the kingdom. That's what most of his message is. And I hope we're not, see, sometimes we can get so caught up in getting people in the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, we set a goal to try to baptize 100 souls this year. But that goal was set not just to say we baptized 100 souls. See, because it does no good to baptize people and either they're not living right, they're not faithful to the Lord. And I don't want to be known as a preacher that baptized thousands. I'm serious. I hope that we are a church. I hope that we are becoming a church. I hope that we will become a church that's teaching people how to live godly lives. Even when we're judged in Matthew chapter 25, even when we're judged in the end, we're going to be judged on who we visited. How many souls have we fed? How many people we've been ministering to? And we got to get folk in the kingdom, but I just hope that we don't get in the kingdom and we don't make it to heaven because we just live it any kind of old way. Amen. And so as we grow, As we grow, let's grow in grace. Let's grow in knowledge. Let's grow as husbands. Let's be better husbands. A better husband you are this year than you were last year. Next year, let's learn how to treat our wives better. Let's learn how to treat our husbands better. Let's learn how to obey our parents better. Let's learn how to treat each other better. Let's learn how to do the Lord's work better. Yeah. And so good. We don't need folk bragging about how many folk we done led to Christ. And we in the church and everybody just doing everything they want to do. Amen. You're here today and you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. You will have an opportunity to do that by faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ and being baptized. If you're here and you have something you want the church to pray for, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you want to get something right in the Lord, do it right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior